against the church, I can tell you the church grows because you can't stomp out what God's doing. The devil has no power over God. And so let's go ahead and open up our bulletins and the sermon notes, and we're going to talk just a little bit about this. I got a few illustrations to show you. And we're going to talk about the fact that persecution is not an unusual thing. In fact, Jesus himself told us that there would be persecution. And we see here that Paul tells Timothy without a doubt in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. But it's kind of got a stipulation to it. So if we kind of read along, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. So there's the condition. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay? The will there would imply that this isn't really an optional thing. So now what type of persecution that you're going to have to come under is really the question. It isn't really whether or not there will be. It's what's it going to look like, right? And so just like we talked about, you know, some try to belittle or minimize the persecution that we will feel in our nation and say, well, that's not really persecution because we're not being put in jail or we're not being beat or something like that. Well, in reality, though, it's still coming from the same spirit. And I'll be honest with you, I think the reason why we don't see more persecution in our nation is because of that first qualifier there. The church really doesn't, by and large, desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. We're kind of just looking for whatever the blessings that God can give us, and then we just want to kind of have our life and be left alone. We really don't serve God a lot throughout the week. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's like that. Thank God that everybody isn't. But when you see the church really come alive, I will assure you we are going to see an outbreak of some persecution. I think we're kind of seeing that a little bit right now with the political climate in our nation as well. There's been some good things happening, like a Supreme Court justice who's very pro-life, two of them in the last couple of years that have been appointed, and what kind of backlash have we seen and the anger that we've seen poured out in the vitriol. And I mean, there's people advocating, assassinations and everything else. It's just insane. I mean, coming from a public figures, and it's like, wow. But it just reminds us that whenever things are going in the right direction, the enemy gets mad, okay? And so we're going to kind of see that. Because he goes on to say in verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, right? And so we're not going to just be surprised or alarmed when we hear about persecution. We just know that it is something that goes hand in hand. Now, I can tell you, I took a trip to Sri Lanka, and whenever I was there, that was where I worshipped with a lot of the Pakistani folks that had come to Sri Lanka. And they were looking for asylum, and they weren't going to get it. They were being told that they were going to be sent back to their death. And the kind of worship services that we had were very heartfelt because, I mean, these folks were like, they were seeking the Lord with everything that they had in their body. In fact, our humanitarian United Nations would not even feed those people because they felt like that they had left the country for the wrong reason. Well, I'll tell you why they left the country is because all their family members had been either killed or had defected to Islam and were trying to kill them. And so they had to leave the country because they didn't have a place to live. They were looking for safety. And so it was very misunderstood by a lot of people. But during that time, we were setting up training centers for pastors so that the gospel would spread in Sri Lanka. 2 years later, I heard reports from Sri Lanka that came back that the church had grown 5% in 2 years. That's how they were encouraged and went out to spread the gospel. Well, then later on that year, I heard a report from Voice of the Martyrs that persecution had grown 5% that same 2 years. So when we see the gospel grow to 5% or over, you're going to see persecution as well that is going to come out. And I've heard the same from our Southern Baptist authorities on mission work, the ones that have studied the mission work of the past, and they say any time that a population gets 5% or more of Christianity that's really sold out for Christ, you begin to see outbreak of persecution. In our own house, my wife got saved. We had been together for probably 15 years before this all happened or so, 10, 11, 12 years. I don't know. She's good at all that math and remembering. All I know is we've been together for a pretty good while, and we had kind of established our life on the lostness of the age. And I came home and she was ready to follow Jesus, had given her life to Jesus, had a new glow, a new person. And I can tell you, I didn't like it and I persecuted her for a year and a half. I'll just admit it. It was true. Just as we would say Paul was a persecutor of those in Jerusalem and abroad, as one who wanted to keep things the way it was. That's what I was trying to do in my home, keep it the way it was, although the way it was didn't work very well. But it is a dynamic that happens. And so we need to know that it's going to happen. Persecution will happen. The why? That's the question we always ask God, why? You guys ever ask God why? Things ain't going well? Why? Why? Well, I think at least part of this we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You see, whenever my wife got saved, she was heaven bound, and I was still perishing, and what she was saying seemed like foolishness to me. It just seemed like, my goodness, why would we want to give our life to something that I didn't even believe in? But you see, after about a year and a half of what was going on, I began to see, but it was being, but to those who were being saved, it was the power of God. And you see, I could see the power of God in my wife and that she still loved me. Even after I'd been so ornery and mean to her, she still had a joy that was like central in her life that I just couldn't extinguish out. I couldn't get rid of. And so then eventually at one point, I'm like, I want what she's got. And I'm not sure exactly how to get it. So why does God allow persecution for the exact same reason in all these other dark places? Many people would say, well, here we pray for the Middle East, and then ISIS comes in, which is really being serving the enemy, Satan. We can see the hatefulness of what they do. Why would God allow that? Well, I'll tell you why God allowed it. Not that I feel like I'm so smart. I can see the effect of it is the reason why I will say why God allowed it. It flushed people out that we would have never reached in evangelism. And they are refugees all over the world now being cared for by Christian people. And Christ is growing in the Muslim world right now like never before. I'm telling you, ISIS exposed Islam for exactly what it is. It is satanic in nature. It is not serving the same God in another way. It is satanic in nature. It is Satan is their leader. You look at how he is described, how Allah is described in Islam. He is described as the greatest of all deceivers. Well, who do we know by the Bible is the greatest of all deceivers? Satan! He's the greatest of all deceivers. And so we can see just by that one aspect of who they say Allah is, he's Satan. And he's misleading people and he's deceiving people. And where is he taking them to ultimately? To hell. And so rather than taking this attitude that they are the enemy, we need to understand the enemy has them under their sway. And what has happened that the enemy meant for bad, like flushing so many people out of Syria and Iraq through this persecution, I can tell you God is using for good right now. And that's how God uses all things for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. 2 Corinthians has something to say about this as well. In chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to those, to the one, okay, so now to God, he sees his believers and they are precious to him. Now to the world, it looks different or smells different to the ones that are being saved and the ones who are not. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? So you see, guys, whenever we get saved and whenever we live for Christ, to a person who's still caught under the sway of the enemy, we're not going to smell good to them. Because it reminds them that there's a destruction ahead of them, even though they're not able to really totally navigate it. And so a lot of times they act out of anger, but they still need for us to live for Christ, even though it might make them angry. So whenever we pray for the persecuted people in other nations, you'll look at your prayer guide there, you'll notice some of those prayers seem a little odd to us. Because we would think, like, if we were being persecuted, our prayer would be, you know, please pray for me that I'll be removed from this situation as quickly as possible, right? And of course, we do pray that they will be rescued. But if you look at what they have asked us to pray for them, that's where those requests came from, is from the prayer requests of the people who are in that situation. Man, they're praying for perseverance. They want you to pray for them, that they'll persevere, that they will continue and on. You know, they pray for a closeness with God. They want you to ask for them to have what they need, not just be removed. And so it just shows that they kind of understand something in this. They understand some stuff, and so I want to kind of take from that, and so we can understand it. Because I'll tell you, we have got some blessings that I would like to give them. I love religious freedom in our country. Do you love that? All right, I'm thankful for religious freedom in our country. And so I would like to be able to give some of that to them where they live. Well, you see, they've got some riches that I'd like to see them be able to give to us. Because, you see, they have learned how to persevere even though they don't have religious freedom. You see, our religious freedom has much caused us to be pretty complacent, apathetic. Yeah, maybe I'll go out, maybe I won't. It doesn't really matter. Hey, it's a free country. But you see, to the folks in China, whenever they began to be persecuted, they realized their choice was either, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the persecutor? They don't see nothing in between. And so the church in China has flourished under persecution. Do you know that there's over 100 million, estimated 100 million Christians in China right now? And growing, like, daily, by the minute, because they understand it's not up to the pastor to do all the witnessing. It's up to every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. They feel responsible to have to go out and tell other people about Jesus because Jesus has done such a great thing for them. In fact, they see their little 3-year prison sentence that everybody gets whenever they witness as being a chance to go get better training on how, because their brothers and that are in that same prison already, and so they're going to get trained. And God's going to speak to them during that time. You see, what does this persecution do in the world? I think number one, spreads the gospel. We can see it right there in the book of Acts we've been going through. Acts chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. Well, first we want to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you will be witnesses for me when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. In, can you guys name off the different areas? Anybody want to name off for me? Exactly. Hometown, your county, your state, and then to the ends of the world, right? And so he's saying that simultaneously they should be witnesses to all these different places. Okay, that was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And now we get to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. There's a persecution breaks out against the church. And Saul is number one enemy in this. Okay, as for Saul, in verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. You see, the more Satan stomped on that fire, did you ever try to put out a leaf fire by just stomping on it in a windy day? You're actually just spreading that sucker all over the place, right? And so, like, that's what Satan's doing. He's stomping on a fire. He's pouring something on that fire, and he thinks he's going to put that fire out, but it actually is like pouring gasoline on a fire. And it just makes it like an inferno that spreads from that point. You see, finally, because God allowed this persecution, then the church finally started doing what he had told them to do 7 chapters before. The church finally started spreading out and preaching the gospel, and guess where they went? They went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and we see this huge spark that starts this fire in Samaria right there in Acts chapter 8 that, like, Samaria erupted in a great awakening and revival like they had never imagined could have happened among a people who were so unlikely. The Samaritans were those to be least desired by the Israelites, and they found out they were ripe and ready for the gospel. You see, guys, I think that it behooves us, it's important for us to make sure that we believe God and go with Him. Again, in Acts chapter 12, which we were just gone through, there was a persecution, and we remember that James was actually put to death, the brother of John, and then Peter was in prison, and if y'all remember, God miraculously sprung Peter out of prison, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. This wasn't grew and was added upon. This is grew and multiplied. Why was it multiplying? Because everybody saw the miracles. They saw the importance through the persecution. And everybody was making disciples. You see, if just two people in this church will win just one person that year, then we'd have four people, right? And then if you expect those same two people to go out and win another two people next year, you see, we can add to the church that way. But if everybody in this church goes out and wins two people next year and really prays that God will help you to disciple them, do you know what will happen in this church? It's called multiplication. Then it's every one of you times two and every one of them times two. You know, if you just put a little bit of money back and you let it multiply, you'll be a millionaire before you know it. Because multiplication is different than addition. That's why we're all called to do this. And you know what? It's an amazing thing that happens that every time persecution hits a place, it don't stop the gospel, it multiplies the gospel. I know it sounds weird whenever I say that because y'all are thinking, I don't want persecution. And I don't blame you. They don't either. I'm just telling you, it's a dynamic that happens. So we can either multiply this church or I believe God will bring persecution to get us out of our seat. Because it is His desire for us to spread the gospel. He's left us with the command. We can either do it willingly or He can force us out. He did it once before and He'll do it again. And that's God's ways. And the cool thing is, if we're going willingly and we run into persecution, we can be like John and Peter and all of them. And they were like rejoicing. They're rejoicing because they were found worthy to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. To be like Him. And it made them thrilled. And so it definitely spreads the gospel, guys. That's one of the things that persecution does. Now, the second thing that I really feel like that we'll see from it is it cleanses and it tests us. Can you get an amen out of that? Those trials cleanse and test us, right? I can tell you that's exactly what I was doing with my wife. I thought, well, I'm going to give this thing about a year because if it ain't for real and I put a lot of pressure on her, she'll give in. She'll give up. And so after a year, she hadn't. And so I thought, well, I'll go a little further then. Because, like, if this thing ain't for real, I think I can force it out of her and we can go back to life as normal. Which, why, again, it was a reprobate mind that was causing me to be that way. Because, like, it wasn't good the way it was before. So why did I want to stay there? I don't know. And neither does your neighbor who doesn't know. Okay? They still don't know. And so this whole thing of persecution, it cleanses and tests us. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Do I get an amen for that? And that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Persecution will do this for you, brothers and sisters. This is the one thing that will really, when our faith is tested and we come through it, we become more like polished gold. It gets rid of all that nonsense that we used to worry so much about. Amen? And I can tell you that there's ways, there's spiritual disciplines that will help us in this. And I think fasting is a special spiritual discipline that will help us in this. Practice some fasting in your life in some way, shape, or form. And I can tell you, once you do, you ain't so worried about that little stuff so much anymore. You know, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but before I ever tried fasting, if I didn't have my lunch by, 11:30, I was dying. And now that I have learned how to fast spiritually, I've learned to depend on God sometimes for days, for periods of time, whatever that may be. And if I miss lunch at 11 o'clock, it's okay. I can live. I'll make it. You see, God's growing me through that. Same way through the pressure of persecution. Pressure of persecution will teach you how to be able to endure because it gives us patience. James tells us that as well. He says, don't get all concerned when you see these various trials come against you because the testing of your faith brings about patience. How many of you guys need patience? I need it, right? I need it. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. If you didn't raise your hand or you don't think you need it, you need it. We all need it, right? And it's okay. And we need it so bad that we'll go through whatever we need to for God to teach it to us because it's a fruit of the Spirit. We all need the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Spirit living through us. So we've kind of learned a couple reasons why it comes. Now we're going to learn about what to do about it. First of all, from the Bible, this is where we're coming from, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 tells us, don't be ashamed. Okay? Don't be ashamed. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now, I'll tell you what, Peter qualifies it. He says, if you're suffering because you've done stupid things and you deserve it, you don't get to claim that. Amen. You see, you'll get to claim this if you weren't guilty. Amen? And so, like, I don't like being accused of things I didn't do. You know what I'm saying? And what Peter's telling me is, if you're doing it as a Christian, give God the glory. Don't be ashamed of it. Give God the glory. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, this is exactly what Paul tells Timothy as well. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Guys, don't be ashamed and don't separate yourself from those who may be being persecuted. We need to connect with them in that, and we need to continue on with that, them in that, because you see, God's doing something. I'll just put it in my own just simple terminology. God's doing something. We may think that the suffering that we're in is not producing anything in us, but I can assure you, at the end of the discussion, at the end of the story, you're going to see God has been doing something. And it's something good. And it may not look good on the outside, but it's something good. Okay? Number two, what we should do about it? We should pray for the persecuted. Amen? That's why I gave you that prayer guide. I want you to remember to pray for the persecuted every day. Please put that in your Bible. Keep that around your Bible or wherever you do your daily Bible study or reading or prayer. And remember to pray for them. You may just take one prayer point off of that a day. I don't know how you want to do it. I don't know when you want to do it, but please do it. Please pray for the persecuted. He says, finally, in 2 Thessalonians, it's the same Paul who's writing to Timothy and in those letters to Timothy, is writing to the Thessalonican church there. And he's saying, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for not all have faith. In fact, it goes on in Hebrews. We're not sure the writer of Hebrews, but the same Holy Spirit working here says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body of Christ also. And so if we say we're a Christian and they are Christians and we are together in this thing, there's not really any difference between their church and our church. We're all one church and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. How would you pray for your biological family member if they were persecuted? If they were in prison somewhere unjustly, how would you pray for them? Pray the same way for the one who is actually your spiritual brother or sister. I'm going to do something. I don't usually come down from up here. I don't know, I'm scaring everybody. They're like, what's going on? You can watch me. It's all right. I got a purpose in what I'm doing. I wanted to physically do this in front of everybody. I don't know if y'all were here whenever I put this up, but I put this up some years ago. This lady that's on this poster was convicted of blasphemy in Pakistan. Her name was Asiya Bibi. I don't know if you were listening to any of the news. They didn't give it on very many news reports, but some news reports told us the truth. This woman was in prison for how many years? 9 years. I want you to know why she went to prison. She went to prison because she was working with a group of ladies and she went to take a drink of water with them and they said, she's dirty, she can't drink out of that. And they started to persecute her because she was a Christian and they were not. And they were Muslims. And this is her quote. They got to talking about Islam versus Christianity. She was trying to present the gospel to them. And they said, you know, what's so special about your God? What's so special about this Jesus? And she said, Muhammad is dead, but our Christ is alive. And it was the truth. And for that reason, amen, you clap. Amen, because I'll tell you what, for that reason, that woman spent 9 years in prison, and she could have gotten out any time that she just would have denied Christ. They gave her many opportunities. Deny Christ and you can be set free. And she wouldn't do it. Amen. She trusted that God could take care of her husband. She trusted that God could take care of her kids. The one thing she needed to do was be true to Christ. And I just want you to remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And whenever I stapled that thing to the wall, I said it's going to stay there until she's either set free by going to heaven, or that government decides to set her free. And just this past week, the government let her go free. She got to go home to her family. And so I praise God. Now, I want you to know, guys, it cost something. It cost her lawyer. They killed him. They killed him for defending her. They got to have all kinds of guards out on the streets to keep riots from happening. Her only thing that she said, I mean, they called her on all this stuff and said she'd said blasphemy and all this stuff. Well, let me ask you something. Is Muhammad dead? He sure is. Is Jesus alive? He sure is. And so she told the truth, and she was in prison for the truth, but we continued to pray. And another one as well, Pastor Brunson, who was in prison in Turkey. He was a man who had served there for 20 years, being good to the people, helping to build schools and everything else. And they decided he was against the state back when they had their little coup about 3 years ago, and he was in prison, but he got set free just a few weeks ago. So continue to pray. Now, we don't know how God's going to answer the prayers. He could have chosen to take them home. He'd still been good. But praise God, sometimes he lets us see victories like that. And so we praise God for that. You continue to pray for the persecuted. And number three, here's the deal, guys. A lot of us wonder, could we do it? Could we stand strong? Could we make it if we were persecuted? Could we? Number three, abide in Christ no matter what. If you will abide in Christ, if you will stay close to Christ, if you will stay connected to Christ, if you will stay in Christ, you too can overcome no matter what. If we look there, John chapter 16, he told us. He said, these things I have spoken to you. Chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's leaving his last words with his disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, say it with me, in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Can I get an amen? Something's going on. Either something's been going on, something was going on, or something's getting ready to go on in your life. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. And you say, that sounds crazy. Not if you're abiding in Christ. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he said it past tense. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. And it was as good as done. And I can tell you, it's better than done now, guys, because he went to the cross, he paid the price, he rose from the dead, and he went back to heaven. And we serve a living Christ, and it don't matter if we serve him from jail or if we serve him from... We actually heard a story where we prayed for one of the prisoners. We prayed for that guy and prayed for that guy, and they were going to suspend his sentence and send him home early, and he said, no, I refuse to. People are coming to Christ in prison. I'm staying. And that's the kind of spirit that these guys have when they're abiding in Christ. So let's pray. Let's keep going. Let's keep abiding. Let's keep living it. And let's not be ashamed no matter what. I'm going to tell you something. Worst persecution that I've seen in America is happening right now. If you speak up for the Bible, you're called a hater. You're called a bigot. You're put to shame, and you're being told that you need to change your mind, you need to soften your views, and you need to get in line with what all of the people who are not believers are saying. And I'm just going to tell you guys, don't be ashamed. You never be ashamed of Jesus. You don't never be ashamed of His Word. Don't you ever be ashamed of the Bible, because it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Stick with Jesus. You got to be in Jesus for even this is going to make any sense. If you've been going through a rough time and you just ain't feeling the peace and you're like, man, what is up? Am I even saved? I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm going crazy. Here's my thing to you today. just need to make sure that you get in Christ and stay there. What does that mean? It means getting His Word. It means getting prayer. It means recommit your life. It means, like, get real with Him. And it may mean you need to get saved. I don't know. Some people would say, well, that's just a churchy word. What's saved mean? It means originally saved from your sin. Like the first time that you ever truly give your heart to Jesus and ask Him to be the Lord of your life, and He saves you from your sins. He saves you from the punishment that is to come. He saves you from the wrath of God. Maybe you've just never gotten there before, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. If it's the truth, just admit it. Just come forward. Give your life to Christ. Go forward with Him. And then let's stay in Him every day. We can't do this alone. Let me pray for you. Dear God, pray for the congregation today. Lord, we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Oh, Lord, as we look at those prayer requests that they left for us, these came from their mouth. They were asked, how should we pray for you? How should we pray for you? And the 10 most popular things that they said are right here on this card. Pray that they will sense God's presence. Pray, Lord, we pray for them today that they will know that we are praying for them, that they'll feel our fellowship. Lord, we pray that they will experience your comfort. Lord, we pray that you will open doors to evangelism for them, even in prisons, wherever people need Jesus. Lord, we pray that they will boldly share the gospel. Lord, we pray that they will mature in their faith. Lord, we pray that they will be granted wisdom in covert ministry work. We want you to keep them hidden from those who would hurt them, Lord, if possible. We pray that they would remain joyful amid suffering. We pray that they would forgive and love even their persecutors. And we pray that they will be rooted in God's Word, that they will abide in Christ. And Lord, we pray today that you'll help us to do the same. Lord, bless us. We may need to take that first step toward Jesus today. We may need to just make a recommitment. Lord, I don't know what kind of commitment we need to make, but I pray that we would take this opportunity to not put it off another moment. In Jesus' name, amen. How it really connects, and I love it to see how God connects the dots. Old Testament book, and it's really talking about how much we need to abide in God. And so please come back this evening and continue on in your spiritual growth through God's Word. God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. All right. We're going to see if we got any birthdays today. Anybody got a birthday?
Any birthdays?